Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Rashi podcast for Parashat Balak. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. In this week's Parasha, as you know, Balak comes to Bilam for help. Balak wants to get rid of Am Yisrael, who are coming in his direction, and he calls upon Bilam to curse Am Yisrael, figuring that would limit their threat. And he specifically calls upon Bilam because he says that Bilam has a certain power, right? What is his power? Ki adati et asher tivarech mevorach ve et asher ta'or yu'ar. Right? He says to, Balak says to Bilam, I know about you, right? You have a good reputation, right, in your line of work, that whatever you bless will be blessed, and whatever you curse will be cursed. In other words, I can count on you, Bilam, that if you're going to curse Am Yisrael, then they will indeed be cursed, and I won't have to worry about their threat anymore. And Bilam repeatedly tells Balak, well, that it doesn't really work that way, and that he can't really say anything that Hashem does not want him to say. And Bilam asks Hashem. Hashem says, don't go with them. So Bilam reports back to Bilam that, sorry, I can't come. And Balak keeps trying. And Bilam asks Hashem one more time. And Hashem this time says, fine, if the people have come, if these messengers of Balak have come to take you, then go with them. Right? But you're only allowed to say what I tell you to say. Then in Perkaf Bet Pasuk Kaf Aleph it says Vayakom Bilam Baboker Vayechavosh Et Atono Vayelech Im Sarei Moav. Once Hashem has given him permission to go, although that permission is somewhat qualified, he's still telling him you're not going to be able to do what Balak wants. But okay, if he wants you to go and you want to go, Bevakasha, I'll go. Bilam decides to go, and he gets up early in the morning. Vayakom Bilam Baboker, or he gets up in the morning. And he gets his aton, and his female donkey, ready to go on his journey. And he goes with Sarei Moav. The next pasuk, pasuk havbet, v'aycharaf Elohim ki holechu. Right? Hashem gets angry with him for going. Now, this isn't the topic that we're going to talk about today. Right? But one thing that could be spoken about is, I suppose we'll touch on this topic, but what exactly is going on here? And Hashem one minute tells him not to go, and then he says, okay, you can go. And then he gets angry with him for going. Right? So if Hashem doesn't really want him to go, then why say, okay, go? And then if you're going to say that he can, that if Hashem's going to say that he can go, then why is he getting angry with him? The very next pasuk. So Rashi touches on this topic. I mean, it's mentioned in different ways in the different Mefarshim in different parts of the story, understanding that issue that I just presented. But on Pasuk Kaf Aleph, and on the words Vayachavosh et Atono, Rashi says, Mikan shehasina mekalkelet et Hashura. From here, from the words Vayachavosh et Atono, right, that Bilam got his donkey ready by himself, we learn that hatred disrupts the usual way that things are done. Rashi goes on, Shechavash hu be'atzmo, right, that he got his donkey ready by himself. Right? Bilam was a fairly important person. He clearly had servants, right? But it wasn't his servants who readied his aton for him. Rather, he did it himself. So this is seen as perhaps a part of a reason why Hashem gets angry with him in the next pasuk, right? Bilam heard what Hashem said to him, right? That you can only say what I tell you to say, right? You're not going to really be able to do what Balak wants you to do. And yet there's something about his excitement, his alacrity of getting up in the morning and getting his donkey ready himself that that shows that he's just a little bit too eager to go, right? And the way that the Rashi describes this is shehasina mekalkelet et hashura, right? His hatred for Am Yisrael was so great that this disrupted the ordinary way that things are doing. Ordinarily, his servants would have done it for him, but his hatred was so great that he got up early and he did it himself. And then Rashi goes on, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rasha, Kfar Kadmecha Avraham Avihem, Shneemar Vayashkem Avraham Baboker Vayachavosh Et Chamoro. upon seeing that Bilam got up in the morning and was getting his donkey ready by himself, and noting that this must be because of his great hatred that he was so excited and it's to go and wanted to get up and start moving by himself, Hashem says to him, "Evil one, Rasha, already before you, we had a different person who did something else, right? Somebody already preceded you, right? Who was that? Avraham Avinu, Avihem, right? Avraham, why? Because it says about Avraham, Vayashkem Avraham b'boker, Vayachavosh et chamaro, right? A very similar pasuk, that Avraham got up early, and he readied his chamor, right? Chamor being the male equivalent of aton. Right, that he got up early and he got his chamor ready. Right, and that quote is from the story of Akedat Yitzchak, right, where after Hashem tells Abraham to get up, to take Yitzchak, and l'haleu le'ola, to bring him up as a korban, alachal ha'arim, on one of the mountains that he will show him, right, it says, v'yishkem Abraham b'boker v'yachavosh et chamoro. Right, if you look at the Midrash Rabbah on the story of Akedat Yitzchak, on the pasuk Vayeshkem Avraham b'boker Vayechavosh et chamoro, right there, Midrash Rabbah says something very similar to what we see here in on the pasuk here in the story of Bilam, and Rashi actually quotes this Midrash on the story of Akedat Yitzchak. There it says, "Ahava mikalkelet atashura." Right, that love, meaning love of God, in that instance, right, in the story of Akedat Yitzchak, also disrupts the ordinary way that things are done. Right, that Abraham also had servants, right, and yet he was so, his love of Hashem disrupted the ordinary way that things are done. He himself got up early in the morning to get his donkey ready so that he could get an early start to fulfill the word of Hashem. If you take a look at that Midrash Rabbah on the story of Akedat Yitzchak, you see that already there's a comparison being made between Avraham and Bilam, right? First it says, Ahava mekalkelet atashura, and brings the example of Vayashkem Avraham b'boker vayachavosh et chamoro. And then, to illustrate the opposite, it says, V'sina mekalkelet atashura. And then brings the example of Bilam in our story, right? Vayakom Bilam b'boker vayachavosh et atono. Right, so already there, we see a comparison between Avraham and Bilam. And one might think, right, when you're just looking at that Midrash, that Rashi borrows it, both in his commentary on Akedah and his commentary here, that if you were just looking at the Midrash, you might think, right, at first glance anyway, that the comparison is merely to show two different types, right? You have the tzaddik who gets up early to do something good, and that's ahava mekalkelet atashura, and you have the rasha who gets up to do something bad, and that's the sinah mekalkelet atashura, and that's all that's being compared here or contrasted in the Midrash. And if you look at the Midrash there in Bereshit Rabbah, you'll see that there are a lot of comparisons being made. Right? It's part of a longer list of things that are being compared, and therefore one might, again, see that simply we're having opposites presented to us in order to show that there are different types. But we should begin to suspect that Rashi here sees something more in that Midrash, or certainly in his commentary seeks to express something more. And that's where the continuation of the Midrash, of Rashi's commentary, which we read, where he now moves to quoting a different Midrash, right? And that's the part of his commentary where he says, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rasha Kvar Kadmecha Avraham Avihem, Shene'emar Vayishkem Avraham B'boker Vayachavosh Et Chamoro. This part of his commentary, Rashi borrows from a different Midrash, from Midrash Tanhuma. And again, right, once he's established that Vayachavosh et Atono hints to a sin'ah that Bilam had, the continuation, right, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Rasha Kvar Kadmecha Avraham Avihem, deepens a little bit our understanding of that first part of Rashi's commentary. Now, Rashi doesn't explicitly point out in the first part, the part that he's quoting from the Midrash Rabbah from Breshit Rabbah, that there is that in that Midrash there's a comparison between Abraham, right? That there on the story of the Akedah that Abraham, that says about Abraham the opposite, Ahava Mikalkelet Et Hashorah, but he hints to that, right? That there's already a comparison or a contrast between Bilam and Abraham by quoting that second Midrash from the Midrash Tanhuma, right? And again, there the Midrash Tanhuma that Rashi borrows says the Hashem says to Bilam, Abraham Avinu, right? Why are you a Rasha? Right? Why am I angry at what you are doing? Because Abraham Avinu already preceded you. And what I'd like to try to understand a little bit better is what exactly is Rashi trying to explain through that Midrash which he quotes. Right? What Hashem in that Midrash says to Bilam, Rasha, Kvar Kadmecha Avraham Avinu, right? Evil one, Avraham Avinu has already preceded you in doing a similar thing by Echavosh et Chamoro. What is that supposed to mean, right? So what, right? What does that explain to us about the story here? What does that explain to us about why Avraham, why Hashem is angry with Bilam here, right? Why is the fact that Avraham did this similar thing before relevant to our understanding of our story here, and Hashem's anger with Bilam for going. So one level of explanation, of understanding of this issue, I think comes directly out of the Midrash in Breshit Rabbah, which I already mentioned. Right there, as I pointed out, Balak and Bilam are being compared or contrasted for what they were trying to do when they got up in the morning. Right, and Bilam got up early in order to do something hateful, both against Am Yisrael and also against Hashem. Right, he gets up with the goal of trying to defy the word of God. Right now, to be fair to Bilam, right, Bilam does repeatedly say to Balak, right, I can't really do what Hashem doesn't want me to do. But the fact that he goes with Balak, nonetheless, perhaps indicates that somewhere in the back of his mind, Bilam is thinking to himself, you know, maybe if I go along, I'll be able to do what Balak wants me to do. Right? Because otherwise there's no real purpose in Bilam going along. He could have just stayed home and said, you know, I'm not interested in taking this job, thank you very much, but I'm not going to curse Bnei Israel. But he goes. We could see that as an indication that he thought that maybe there's a purpose in going. I'll go, I'll try. Maybe I will be able to accomplish what Balak wants. And that is why Hashem gets angry with him, right? Because he's giving the impression, or he has the genuine desire to actually try to fulfill Balak's desire. So in that case, when Rashi says, Rashak Farkad Mecha Avraham Avinu, what's being compared here is the goals of these two individuals. Bilam got up in the morning, right, to defy the word of Hashem, to attempt to rebel against what Hashem wants him to do. Abraham, of course, gets up in the morning to do the exact opposite. Right? Despite the fact that Abraham has just been asked to do something very, very difficult, he gets up early in the morning in a rush of desire to fulfill the word of God. So Rashi's quoting of the Midrash, Rasha, evil one, right, stems from the fact that the comparison between Bilam and Avraham forces us to realize what a Rasha Bilam actually was. Added to the first level of comparison, right, that Bilam was defying the word of God and Avraham was fulfilling the word of God, is also, of course, the comparison of the situations in which these two individuals got up in the morning. And here we actually see something parallel between these two stories, although, as we'll see in a moment, despite the fact that they are parallel, that they are similar in a certain way, in some ways it again heightens the difference between them. In a strange way, Bilam and Abraham get up in the morning to do something kind of similar. Abraham is asked by Hashem to go and sacrifice his son. Right? Basically put an end to his life. And Bilam gets up early in the morning to do something actually pretty similar. Right? His goal is to destroy Am Yisrael. Right? Both of these men are getting up to do something pretty similar. And yet, right, that comparison seems almost silly because when we again look at the broader contexts of each of the stories, this act of putting an end to the descendants of Abraham, if I want to put it that way, is seen in an entirely different light because of the motivation of each of them. Right? Bilam's desire to put an end to Abraham's children, right, to Am Yisrael, stems from hatred. Right? Stems from a hatred of Am Yisrael, or at the very least, enough of a desire to gain wealth and honor from Balak that he's willing to do a very hateful act. Whereas Abraham, and of course we can discuss it in a different context and not the context of this this particular shiur, of whether Hashem, you know, what Hashem thinks about what he asked Abraham to do, right? Hashem clearly doesn't want Abraham to kill Yitzhak, and yet the request and the way that it's perceived by Abraham, of course, is the word of Hashem, and that Hashem and that Abraham's desire to fulfill the word of Hashem is his motivation in sacrificing Yitzhak. Right? Yes, in both cases, these men are doing something very similar, and yet Abraham's desire to fulfill it is a pure desire to do Hashem's will, right? And Bilam's actions are a pure desire to do the opposite. The fact that they're setting out to do similar things, and yet the two actions are perceived so entirely differently, just highlights the difference of their motivations. And so, back to Rashi's commentary. When Hashem says in the Midrash that Rashi quotes, Rasha kvar kadmecha Avraham avihem, Hashem's words are meant to explain to us why Hashem is angry, and to put Bilam's actions into a broader context, right? Bilam, Rashi is saying here, is a Rasha. And how do we know he's a Rasha? Because if you look at what Abraham did way back when, which was such a similar act to what Bilam is doing, and yet, because of the context, right, it is so clear